I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Today, a conversation about cultivating startup businesses. What does it take in terms of money and people to bring an idea for a new product or service to the market? A recent survey of cities with the most startup activity ranked Baltimore near the bottom. Cities like San Francisco and New York continue to attract young entrepreneurs. How can we get them to bring their talent here? Christy Weisgill runs the Johns Hopkins University Technology Ventures Program. Josh Roussakis is the director of the Baltimore Office for Venture for America, a fellowship program that matches recent college grads with startups. Floyd Jones is a fellow in that program. They join me to talk about making Baltimore better for small business. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick reviews a little show called Hamilton at the Kennedy Center. I've heard good things about that one. First, the news. Good afternoon, everybody. Glad you're with us. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday and happy summer solstice. Today is the first official day of summer and the longest day of the year, so we appreciate your spending part of it with us. Today, we're going to have a conversation about the climate for business startups here in Baltimore. There are more than a dozen major public and private universities in the D.C.-Baltimore region, including the University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins University. They generate a steady stream of patentable, marketable products, things like robots and new drugs and medical technologies, which have spawned many new businesses. These universities also generate a steady stream of talented, business-oriented student graduates. The 2017 Kaufman Index of Startup Activity ranked Baltimore 35th in the country, however, and that's near the bottom of the pack. But many people think that the startup economy here does have the potential to grow significantly. My guests are three people who are trying to make that happen. Christy Weisgill directs the Johns Hopkins University Technology Ventures Program and one of its key startup incubator initiatives called Fast Forward, which provides a variety of business resources to Johns Hopkins faculty and student entrepreneurs. Christy, welcome. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Josh Roussakis is the director of the Baltimore Office of Venture for America. That's a two-year salaried fellowship program that matches recent college graduates with startups in 18 different cities. Josh, good to see you as well.
Thanks, thrilled to be here.
And Floyd Jones is with us as well. He is a 2017 fellow with Venture for America. He's the development and community outreach coordinator at Volo City Kids Foundation. That's a nonprofit that provides free access to organized youth sports programs. Good to see you as well, sir.
Great to see ya.
So, Christy, let's start with you. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of what you all are doing at Technology Ventures and then in particular at Fast Forward.
Sure. So our goal is really twofold. That is to take as many great products from labs and dorm rooms at Johns Hopkins and bring those to market. And the second is to build the Baltimore ecosystem and make it a vibrant and wonderful place that we hope eventually will change the skyline of Baltimore by building great, scalable companies.
And I would imagine that's a little tricky. Or a lot tricky, perhaps. One of the things that strikes me is that you're talking about a university, a research university. How do you distinguish who owns the intellectual property of the stuff that people are developing? Does Johns Hopkins own it? Do the professors do it? In the medical school, is it the doctors? How do you parse that out?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And we also serve all 9 schools at Johns Hopkins. It's not just the School of Medicine. We've got a lot of things coming out of our engineering school and other places. So the nice thing is we have a diverse breadth of technologies. The answer is very straightforward. There's actually a federal law passed in 1980 that says if you do research based on our tax dollars, on federally funded research, that the university owns that. The inventor, though, at the university, a faculty, a doctor, they can take part in the economics of that, but it's actually very well defined and has been for a number of decades.
So the businesses that you're starting, then the profits, if there are any, accrue to the individuals, not to the university, or are they shared?
Yeah, so it's a license agreement. So we patent it at the university, and then we license it to a company. So the company can grow and create value and create jobs, and they pay us milestones and royalties back as they're successful.
What are the big challenges? What are the big barriers to getting these projects off the ground?
Yeah, there really it boils down to two things. You need the talent, the entrepreneurial talent, to work at and run these companies, and you need forms of capital. You need money to get these companies started and investment. And so trying to identify the talent and the dollars to go into these companies is something that we continue to work on every day.
I did a show with Mary Miller and Ben Siegel there.
Yes.
With the 21st Century Cities Initiative. Mm-hmm. And Mary oversaw, she's a former Undersecretary of the Treasury and a former top executive at T. Rowe Price, where you spent a little time. You've been on Wall Street for a while as well. And talking about the mismatch often between where the money comes from and where the companies are being started. So the fact that the money that these entrepreneurs need, the capital they need to get their businesses off the ground, it's important that it come from Baltimore, right?
It would be great that if it did. We have often taken the tack of going to the venture firms, whether they're on the West Coast or in Boston or other places, and inviting them to Baltimore to invest here. So a lot of the bigger investment rounds that we see are actually relationship building with firms who invest in our types of companies around the country.
Yeah, but an ideal situation is when it's a Baltimore institution lending to a local.
That would be great.
Because we have lost a few companies because the source of their funding is from another place. We'll talk about
correct.
That in a minute. But Josh Roussakos, you with Venture for America, as I understand it, it's kind of like Teach for America, except for business folks. Explain how it works.
Absolutely. I think it's a very apt description. So really nail on the head in that we are recruiting from all over the country to find early career professionals, typically recent grads, anywhere from 1 to 3 years out of college, who want to start their own companies or have developed an interest in startups and have cultivated skills that are applicable to the startup range. And what we do then is we help the companies like Christie's helping with through Fast Forward and helping them get that early career talent that's mission aligned, motivated, talented, so they can, you know, in areas where capital is a little bit more constrained, they can do more with less. On top of that, we're also trying to build the next generation of entrepreneurs, people who are going to build those businesses that will continue to hire and be based in Baltimore and our other cities across the country. So we have a number of resources aimed at helping our fellows work through the ideation process, the validation process, and eventually when they have their actual business idea.
Ideation and validation. Okay, so ideation means they have an idea.
Yes.
And then validation, what's that?
Validation is making sure that idea actually can stick to the wall in terms of a business sense. So is there actually a customer for that business, that service that you're providing? You know, what is the actual share? Is this an actual feasible business idea? So we work with them throughout the fellowship. And then we have launch resources, or what we call business creation resources. Everything from an accelerator to a crowdfunding campaign that help our fellows start their companies and get them off the ground.
And Floyd, you are one of the fellows. What attracted you to this program? It's a very competitive program like Teach for America. I mean, you and a whole bunch of other people applied, and you and just a few people got accepted. What were your aspirations? And now that you've been in it about a year, have those aspirations been realized?
Yeah, so I think one major thing that attracted me to VFA was their mission and the idea of, you know, creating economic opportunity in cities, American cities across the country. I think for me, one thing that I was passionate about since I was in school was social enterprise and being able to have some kind of for-profit company that is giving back to the community. And I think that, you know, VFA doesn't just walk the walk. I mean, talk the talk, but they actually walk it out, and they're really, you know, stand behind what they say in terms of being intentional with the communities that they, you know, operate in, and providing resources and making sure that everybody has opportunity and access. And so I think that that was one thing that really attracted me to the organization. But then also after I started talking to current fellows, one thing that I love about our organization is it kind of grows into one big family. And I did a lot of research and talked to a lot of fellows before I joined the program. And I realized that there was a lot of resources, especially for aspiring entrepreneurs of color and marginalized groups, and making sure that they really invest the time and the resources into them. And I would definitely say that a lot of the aspirations that I had coming into the organization have been actualized, as now I am one of the lead for the affinity groups for Black fellows across the country. And I'm really excited to be able to connect with mentors and connect with partners to really help, you know, bring forth the next generation of leaders. So,
and you're working with a company called Volo City,
correct,
which is a for-profit company, mm-hmm, right? And they have, I guess, branches in 8 different cities.
Right.
Give us a thumbnail sketch. Give us, as they say, the elevator speech for your company. What do they do?
Yes. Yeah, so Volo City really is a social enterprise, and they started and have the overall mission of providing free sports to kids across America, to all kids across America. So how do they do that? We have about 200,000 adult players in 8 cities nationwide. It started in Baltimore. Baltimore is our biggest base and biggest cohort. And what we do is we take a percentage of all of those adult fees and it goes to our Kids Foundation to provide free sports and healthy meals for kids. Again, Baltimore is the biggest city for our foundation as well. This year, we're on track to serve 2,000 kids in Baltimore. And one thing that really connects everybody, you know, all of our shirts say, "We play so kids can play for free." So you might think it's just a kickball game. You might think it's just another softball game. But really what you're doing is helping to provide energy and fuel for the next generation. So
yeah, and Christy, is that the kind of pitch that resonates with a lot of people? I mean, if there's the social awareness dimension to it, I would imagine that that's one of several arrows in the quiver that a company could have. I mean, there are plenty of companies who give a certain percentage of their profits to nonprofit entities, and they have foundations and stuff. But it's interesting that it's used specifically as a business pitch.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do here in Baltimore and specifically at Johns Hopkins is all about impact, positive impact, doing things that will really change lives. And whether it's our Social Innovation Lab program that actually helps mission-driven and not-for-profit companies move through and gain resources on how to pitch to foundations, how to build business plans, how to hire, or it's the company themselves at Johns Hopkins, I like to say that we're not just building another app that's going to get my teenagers more addicted to social media. We're actually trying to do things that will change lives for the better, mm-hmm. Whether that is the next big cancer drug, whether that is something in advanced manufacturing and 3D printing, and whether that's something that really will help to make Baltimore as vibrant as possible.
And Josh Busakis, one of the things that makes Baltimore vibrant is if these young entrepreneurs are sticking around. All right, so that's part of your mission as well, to the fact that they are coming here, because, for example, Floyd, you're not from Baltimore, right?
Yeah, just outside. I'm in Maryland, but not the city.
In Maryland, but not the city. And many of your fellows come from the Midwest, the West Coast.
Absolutely.
And part of the deal is they come and they are working for companies, right? These are not free internships,
right? They are full-time at-will employees.
They're full-time employees, so they are hired. And then the hope is that they stick around when they're finished with the 2-year fellowship. How often does that happen?
Quite often, I'd say, for the Baltimore program. In terms of alum that we have currently here in Baltimore, it's about 46. And we just graduated our most recent class of 2016 last week. So they're now alumni. But we've brought in about 50-odd alumni, or alumni at this point total. So our retention rate is pretty great here in Baltimore.
And so there's 50 people working in companies here in Baltimore that perhaps wouldn't have had they not been involved with Venture for America.
So technically the numbers are about 83 that we've brought in to date since 2013 when we started the program. Of our everyone who could actually be an alumni, there are about 50 odd of those. But that's all thanks to, I think, the support of the community. I think since 2013, when we started with just 7 fellows, we've grown to 66 fellows and alumni total. So we're one of the second largest VFA city out of our 15 that we operate in across the country. It's everything from programming with local leaders, whether they be political, whether they be entrepreneurial, neighborhood tours, doing visits to OpenWorks and the Foundry and to center stage, kind of really making sure that they are not just working here for 2 years and burning out and going on thinking back of Baltimore and reminiscing on that time I spent, 2 years working my tail off at a startup, but, making sure that they're really building that connective, feeling to the city and the larger community. Mm-hmm. I think it's worked pretty well.
And Christy, let's talk a little bit about Fast Forward in particular. Part of it is just simply providing office space, right?
That's right. We saw there are some wonderful resources throughout the city, and we're a very connected community when it comes to innovation hubs. In particular, Fast Forward, though, saw a need for the types of companies coming out of Johns Hopkins where there was a dearth of lab space, bench space, places for engineers to build things, places for biotechnologists to work in the lab. And so what we did was committed the capital and resources to build out both in the Remington neighborhood, not far from here,
and in the second floor of our house. House, which I know a lot of listeners will be familiar with.
Yeah. Yes, at the second floor of our house, and then also in East Baltimore, just north of our flagship hospital, we have space for companies, very flexible and affordable space with shared equipment for companies to plug and play and start their business.
Yeah, and that can be a real barrier to folks. I mean, if you've got to start your own office with your own phone system and computer access and photocopy machine and coffee pot, I mean, you know, so this is really good that folks can share that. It amortizes those costs.
You got it. It's onerous. I came to this work after spending some time, many years as an investor. I came to this work as an entrepreneur and started two companies with Johns Hopkins clinicians and faculty. And I experienced just that. There was nowhere to rent lab space that was easy. I remember sitting around waiting for the Wi-Fi and phones to be hooked up. It took weeks. This is a case where you walk in, you have conference space, you have coffee, you have phones, you have everything you would need to get your business so you can focus on the business, not on the setup.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the simplest things, isn't it? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about this. Christy Weiskiel is director of the Johns Hopkins University Technology Ventures Program and its Fast Forward Business Incubator Initiative. Josh Roussakis is the Baltimore Director for Venture for America, which helps aspiring entrepreneurs. And Floyd Jones is a Venture for America Fellow. He works for the Volo City Kids Foundation. That's a nonprofit wing of Volo City, which runs sports programs in 8 cities around the country. We'll have more on the Baltimore startup scene after a short break. If you have a comment, a question, and you'd like to be part of our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. We are also streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. And if you want to ping me on Twitter, I'm @TomHallWYPR. Stick around. Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, it's Midday with the Mayor. Baltimore City Mayor Catherine Pugh will spend the hour with me and take your questions and comments tomorrow. And looking ahead to next week, Ivan Bates and Thiru Vignaraja, two lawyers in private practice who are challenging State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby in the Democratic primary, will join me for a conversation about that very important race. And on Tuesday night, I will anchor complete primary election coverage here on WYPR beginning at 9 o'clock. Today is the final day of early voting. Polls stay open until 8 o'clock tonight. Lots more people have taken advantage of the opportunity to vote early this year than in the last election 2 years ago. Early turnout is up more than 53% so far. Let's hope turnout is as good on Election Day as well. If you've just turned out for Midday today, we are grateful for that. And we are talking about Baltimore's startup scene and the efforts to attract a new generation of young entrepreneurs. Joining me here in Studio A, Christy Weiskiel. She's with the Johns Hopkins University Technology Ventures Programs and its business incubator initiative called Fast Forward. Josh Roussakis, he's the Baltimore Director of Venture for America. He also directs the VFA program in Providence, Rhode Island. And Floyd Jones, he's a manager at the Volo City Kids Foundation. It's a nonprofit that provides free youth sports programs here in Baltimore. To join our conversation, our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. We are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page, and you can give us a call, 410-662-8780. We have a tweet from the folks over at the 21st Century Cities program, which is part of Hopkins. We were talking about that before the break. They say that we found that over 75% of investors in Baltimore startups were based outside of the city, and 58% were based outside Maryland. So there's a company, Christy, called, it's a robotics company, and I have the name of it somewhere.
Robotics.
Ready Robotics.
Yes.
And they make robots for manufacturers, and they started here in Baltimore, but they have decided to move to the Midwest, and they cited two reasons for that. One is their lender, the money, the source of their capital is in the Midwest, and they wanted to have more access, closer access to the Midwestern manufacturing thing. Is that one of those deals? It's a tough loss for Baltimore, but is that one of those deals that we didn't have any case to make to have them stay?
So, yeah, Ready Robotics is a wonderful company focused on robotics for small manufacturers, and I think will be the future of manufacturing. It came out of our Whiting School of Engineering and is actually run by someone who used to work in my group named Ben Gibbs, a wonderful individual, and Kale Guerin, who's the faculty genius behind that technology. They went around the country and looked at venture money to be the lead investor in their latest round, which I believe was $15 million. And the group who emerged as the one who was willing to back and support them happened to be based in Columbus, Ohio. It wasn't for a lack of trying. I think the trend here and what's critical is that if you look back prior to the setup of Fast Forward, more than 80% of the companies that were founded out of Johns Hopkins left the region. And what we're seeing now in these past couple of years, not only more venture funding, almost fivefold more than historically had come in, is coming in each year to our companies, and more than half of those companies are staying in region. So we went from 20% of the companies staying in Baltimore, coming out of Johns Hopkins, to over 50% and raising substantially more capital. Ready Robotics is a loss, but I think over time, as we build the critical mass, we'll see that change, and we already are.
Yeah, and Josh Roussakis, that's a good trend, obviously. But what happens, what about the actual individual entrepreneurs, the people like Floyd and his cohort, the rest of his cohort here in VFA? There's a piece in BusinessInsider.com talking about how expensive San Francisco is to live. And because of that, a lot of entrepreneurs are looking at 10 other cities, and they listed Baltimore as one of them that was particularly attractive to tech folks, you know, the tech types. What is it going to take for people to want to just, you know, live here personally and grow their companies here?
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that we, or I personally market to our incoming cohorts of fellows every year is the affordability of the city, and the fact that you can, your salary, which may not compare to the salaries of those out in San Francisco or New York, or even Boston with your big startups, they can go a lot farther here in Baltimore. I think that's a big thing. I also think that when we're talking about the typical Venture for America fellow archetype, it's not just someone who wants to work at a startup for the glamorous reasons. It's also someone who wants to feel like they're part of the larger community or the city that they're in. So a lot of our fellows, in addition to working their you know, crazy startup hours, are also involved in the community, whether it's through organizations like Thread or Living Classrooms. They're also kind of, you know, finding time to get to know the larger city. And that's one thing I always love to market, is that Baltimore is a city for people who want to be engaged on multiple fronts. And I think that's really attractive.
Yeah. And Floyd, I mean, it seems like that was certainly something that is animating what you're doing. I mean, you're not involved just in Volo City. You're doing a lot of stuff, you know, directly in the community. Is that a value that you find many of the other people in your cohort share?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one really important thing is connectivity and feeling not only like you're connected to, you know, other, you know, fellows, but other people in the community as well, and people who actually, you know, citizens of Baltimore who've been here for a long time. I think one thing that continues to propel me and make me excited is just hearing the stories of the people that I get to work with and the people who are just in this community who are doing amazing and great things. I think that, you know, every single day is more fuel to say, okay, I understand why I'm working so hard, gotta keep working for them. And then I think the last thing is also the access. And I think one thing that Venture for America has been able to provide for me that I know that I wouldn't have been able to do on my own is, you know, the amount of events and meeting people like you. And, you know, I think we can just literally walk into this community and this cohort and just be able to be connected to so many other people who are doing great things. So that way, when we start our own projects, it can be, you know, elevated quicker.
Now, you're 25 years old?
Correct.
Right? When I was 25 years old, I had no idea what I'd be doing in my 60s. I just stumbled from one thing to another, one massive failure after another, and then ended up here. But so obviously, I'm not sure whether or not you're thinking about a 40-year horizon or something. but with 40 years or so ahead of you in your working life, are you thinking in terms of that long a horizon, or what kind of ways are you considering where your career could take you and what you might end up doing?
That's a great question. I think, you know, whenever people ask me similar questions like that, I think back to training camp that we actually have. It's a big thing that Venture for America does. It's one of our staple things. And I actually had a conversation with our now CEO, Amy, and I asked her, you know, when she was my age, you know, what type of things where she was hoping to do when she was, you know, where she's at now. And she was saying to me something that really resonated. And she said, you know, I never knew exactly what I would be doing, but I always thought about the kind of person I wanted to be. And so I think that I've really adopted that for myself. And I know that whatever I'm doing, I want to be able to make sure that I'm making impact and also, you know, building opportunities for myself and others. And I think it's a little cliche because it's part of our mission. But I think that that's something that really has become a personal motto for me. So yes, I am definitely thinking long term. And also thinking about long-term, what kind of benefit can I provide to the city?
Yeah, and Christy, you, as I mentioned, you've been on Wall Street for a long time. You're by no means a senior citizen, but you're older than these guys. It strikes me that it seems that there may be a generational shift when it comes to young entrepreneurs now and their values. Venture for America talks a lot about values, about integrity, about doing things that matter and feeling that you're doing something that matters as an animating force behind the work you choose. It's not just, let's come up with a great idea and get rich.
Absolutely. And I think where we see this, at least I see this in my day job, is in our student population. So we have so many students at Johns Hopkins, and it's from the youngest undergraduate to and through the postdoc. So it's really a wide range. But they are very interested, as you said, in not just in profits and what they can build for themselves, but it's about the greater community. I think Floyd did a beautiful job saying it's about connectivity and common purpose. And I think so many of our undergrads see that as just part of life and part of what they want to do. And I think it's actually one of the most positive attributes of the millennial generation that we don't talk about enough.
So that begs the question then, if you're the president of Harbor Bank or any of the local banking institutions and some entrepreneurs come to you and say, we need $15 million for the next phase of our capital. And we do this because it's so fulfilling to me, and I, you know, I'm a person of integrity and I want to be connected to the community. The banker may still be saying, but we got to make money. So how do those things get reconciled?
That is the sweet spot of where we try to help folks. And that is, what is really the business model? Is it better to be set up as a not-for-profit and think about philanthropic funding? Or is it better to think of setting up something as a business, and how do you move forward and how do you make it profitable? You're absolutely right. Whether you're a bank or a venture investor or a company like T. Rowe Price, at the end of the day, it's about the numbers and the cash flow statement and are there revenues? And so we really do try to help students wherever they are in their journey of thinking about the business proposition and try to direct them towards a business model that makes sense.
And Josh, it's interesting. You sent along to our producer, Rob Sivak, some surveys from Harvard talking about that the current generation of folks that we're talking about, the folks in Floyd's generation, their interest in tech is actually waning a little bit. That was a surprise to me. I would have thought that, you know, Floyd's generation is all about tech.
Right, right. And actually, one of the important things about that survey, and really it's our the seed from which we were founded from back in 2011, is the fact that students are not going on to start their own companies or going to the quote-unquote tried-and-true sectors like iBanking, finance, consulting, or even law school or further schooling, the idea that that's the safe route that gets them there. And so really what we're trying to do is take young, smart people who can create businesses and can start their own companies and try to illuminate the pathway a little bit more. It's not easy. It never has been easy. It never will be easy. But I think with the resources, the support, and the mentorship that we provide and the programming that we provide, we try to make that we try and make it a lot more visible, as well as, you know, I think our future, you know, has a stake in it, and that early companies anywhere from 1 to 5 years are responsible for about 50% of all job growth or job creation. So we need the Floyds of the world.
So the companies that are 5 years old and less are comprising 50% of the workforce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of people. We hear politicians say all the time, you know, the future is in small business. You know, it's not in Amazon, it's not in Walmart. You know, it's in small business. But you're saying that you concur with that assessment.
Absolutely.
Josh Roussakis is with Venture for America. Floyd Jones is a Venture for America fellow. He's currently working at Volo City here in Baltimore. And Christy Weiskiel directs Technology Ventures and Fast Forward Johns Hopkins. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. Our phone number here, we're talking about business startups and the climate here in town for business startups. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org, to send us a tweet at midday. WYPR, and to catch us on Facebook, go to the WYPR Facebook page. So, Christy, this problem of young people leaving Baltimore and the companies leaving Baltimore, what are the public policy implications of that? What should the city of Baltimore be doing, the state of Maryland, and even the federal government be doing to see that the kinds of programs that you're talking about can thrive?
We have great partnerships with all of those folks that you mentioned, whether it's folks throughout the city at the Baltimore Development Corp, which has an innovation hub called the Emerging Technology Center, which is a great partner. At the state level, both in the legislature and Governor Hogan's team are all very interested and engaged on this topic and have been supportive of a number of these initiatives. And then there are, of course, various federal grant programs, including the one that is coming up most lately, the Opportunity Zone platform, which is still getting vetted, but I think at the end of the day could be a real catalyst and tool for getting more investment. So it is important. What we're trying to build at the end of the day, I mean, think about it. Under Armour at one point was a startup, right? It was Kevin and his mother in his grandmother's basement in Washington, D.C., and look what it has done to Baltimore now. So if we plant a lot of seeds and get help from our friends in the public sector to plant as many seeds as possible and to really build this ecosystem, then who knows, we could have another company of that size come down the pike.
Yeah, and Floyd, it's interesting. One of the guys who's running in the Democratic primary for governor is a guy named Alec Ross, wrote a book called The Industries of the Future. And he said that back in the day, it was all about X's and O's and computers. And now it's about genetic code. It's not about computer code. It's about genetic code. And I know Baltimore is trying to develop a reputation as a biotech hub. Was that something you were aware of? I mean, you grew up outside of Baltimore. You went to school in D.C. at GW. Is that something that folks, just in the general entrepreneur sphere are hip to about the city of Baltimore?
I would say, yes and no. I think for me, I kind of was more aware of it because my brother went to school at UMBC and we have connections to people at Johns Hopkins and different things. So I was kind of aware of that. Can I say the same thing for my entire cohort? I'm not 100% sure. But yes, I would say yes and no.
And Josh, then is it to Baltimore's advantage to try to be known for specific kinds of things, be it biotech or maybe it's robots or something, but is the branding that different cities are going through often focused on a particular industry, and is that a good idea?
So from where I sit with VFA, I think actually what's played to our favor is the fact that there are so many emerging industries here. So it's not just biotech, but it's also cybersecurity tech. So you have the Fort Meade corridor. You've got a pretty well-known ed tech space as well. And then everything kind of under the umbrella of biotech, whether it's health tech, wellness tech, et cetera, I think has really made sure that we can attract a pretty broad array of fellows with amounts of differing skill sets.
And Floyd, let me ask you the kinds of training, the kinds of skill sets that you're able to develop because of your connection with VFA and how that's helping you now in your early career in business.
Wow, good question. So I think the most pressing thing on my mind right now is I just officially became a manager. So I'm super excited about that. I finally hired two staff members underneath me, which is really cool. Actually, I like to say with me because that's kind of how I like to lead. But it's really crazy because that's something when I joined VFA, I think that was one of the biggest things. I was like, I really want to become a better leader. I want to know how to do this. And training camp really focuses a lot on that. They focus on, being able to, build a business or build something that's sustainable to be able to bring on enough capital to make that happen. And so I think that that's what I focused on the first year of working for Volo City. And so now being able to actually have a budget to be able to employ other people, you know, feels really great. But I think also the idea of sustainability, the idea of, you know, making a relevant business model, the idea of engaging supporters and bringing other people on board, you know, that's what we talked about all the time in and out. And then I even think about things as small or no, as big as, you know, UX design and thinking about, you know, design principles and how we actually build a program model, right? So I'm thinking about the ins and outs, not only of the development sphere, but also our core product and saying, okay, how are people engaging with this? How are all of our stakeholders having a role in what we're doing from, you know, little, you know, big events that we plan like Summerfest and McHenry Row to, you know, the leagues that our kids are with and our parents and volunteers, et cetera.
So. And Christy, one of the challenges that occurred to me that you face is that the time horizon for these companies is often very long. Mm-hmm. And this is an era of instant gratification and instant profits. We hear all the time about the large companies, you know, concentrating on this quarter's profits and this quarter's reports being attractive to stockholders. Is that a bump you got to get over with folks? I mean, when you're asking people for money, you're not saying, okay, and by the way, you're going to get a profit, you know, next year. You're saying sometimes it could last years and years, right?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the important pieces when you match the entrepreneur or the company to the investor. You have to know what the investor's time horizon is and what their tolerance for risk is. So when we court, for example, a company to invest in a cancer diagnostics asset, they know that that is going to take time to get through the FDA, to be marketed, to build the business around that, that it's not going to be overnight. And so it's really about matching expectations, and it's about courting the right type of investor for the right opportunity.
About how much has been raised for these kinds of projects, these kinds of young companies over the last, say, I don't know, 8-10 years? Do you have a sense of how much it is?
Sure. So it's over $1 billion that have gone into companies where the intellectual property came out of Johns Hopkins. And we're seeing a strong upward trajectory this year. In fact, our numbers for companies coming out of Johns Hopkins, they've raised over $400 million in venture capital, more than half of that staying here. So we're seeing significant upticks.
And why is that? I mean, is that all because you guys are just geniuses and you're doing a great job, which I'm sure is true, but does that have anything to do with what the city's doing or what the state is doing or anybody else?
It's all of that coming together. It's the intentionality of connecting all of the resources, of providing exactly what is needed, which in our opinion was space for these companies, resources, educational and otherwise, and funding connections. Those are the magic three legs of the stool where other ecosystems have gotten it right, and we would not have been able to put the three legs of the stool in place without our partners in the public sector.
With this cohort of Venture for America, Josh, what's your guess as to how many will actually be able to stick around?
We're talking.
Have you heard from them? Because a lot of these folks get placed with these companies and they stay there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in terms of the incoming 2018 cohort, we're right at 17 right now. Expect to bring in about 20, which is what we've been doing for the past 3 years. I would like to say that over 3/4 would stay, you know, at least anywhere from 6 to 18 months beyond. But it remains to be seen. I think the favorite part of my job is to make sure that our fellows love the city as much as I do as a native of the city. And I think there are so many things to offer that it's a hard case not to fall in love.
Mm-hmm. And Floyd, not to put you on the spot, but I mean, if you guessed where you'd be in 5 years, would it be somewhere here in Baltimore?
Yes, I have been. Right before this, I was talking to Josh and Christy about wanting to purchase a home here. So yes, I definitely, Baltimore will always be in my life and my heart and everything. So yes.
There you go. You're saying the right thing. I'll pass it along to the mayor when I see her tomorrow. All right. Well, it's great to talk to all of you. Thank you so much. And good luck as you move forward. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Floyd Jones is a Venture for America fellow. He's working now as a development manager for the Volo City Kids Foundation. Josh Roussakis directs Venture for America here in Baltimore, as well as in Providence, Rhode Island, and Christy Weiskiel directs Technology Ventures and Fast Forward at Johns Hopkins University. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, our theater critic Jay Wynn Russick will join me with this week's review. It's the Kennedy Center's production of one of Broadway's biggest hits, Hamilton. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. Stay with us.